Well, good morning. Before I start, getting into the sermon part, I just want to take a minute. We're getting near the end of the year, just literally another Sunday away from the end of the year. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Is that okay? Can I say that? Thank you to all of you. We've had an amazing year, and I just want to let you know some of the things that have gone on. We did a missions trip this year. We hadn't done one since before COVID, and so that was a wonderful time that we've been able to do as far as extended missions. We established a whole bunch of Bible schools around the world, dozens and dozens of them. We've done local missions. We've got, our food pantry reaching thousands of people every single year, tons of food. Like when I say tons, I mean tons of food, that we give away, and it's a blessing. We've done our outreach to the homeless here, right here in Hyde Park, and we're a blessing that way. And all those things are wonderful, and I'm grateful for all of them. But let me tell you the one thing that warms me all up on the inside, and we really need this morning. You know what I'm saying? It's a little cold out there. So the thing that warms me up is the personal transformation stories. The stories that I hear all through the year where Jesus somehow, in some way, touched an individual's life, either to save them in the first place, bring them to salvation, or to help them, have a transformative moment, maybe to deal with a lifestyle or a habit or just a revelation of something in their lives where God just did a miracle. Amen. And that's what warms my heart. I'm just grateful that this is a place that God does that. And I encourage you that if you haven't had that happen yet, just ask the Lord and He will do it. He is faithful. Amen. And so thank you. And I pray that if you have any of those stories that have happened to you, let us know. It warms our hearts to hear these things. There are days, I'm human like everyone else. I go along and it's like, Lord, is anything happening? Anything happening? Anything happening? Meanwhile, all kinds of miracles are happening, but nobody got the memo to let me know. All right, so please, let the church staff know if God's just done a miracle so we can rejoice with you in it. Amen. So God bless you. Amen. Father, I thank you for our time that we've already had in worship of just worshiping you through song. But Lord God, I pray that as we worship you with our hearts and are attentive to your word, to your holy scriptures, that we would grow in our understanding of you, that we would grow in hope this very morning. So we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've had an interesting week. Sandra and I we do life together. I know that not every couple does that. They kind of have their life and she's got his life, kind of thing. We do life together. We've been together. We've known each other. I think she was 12 years old and I was like 13. So literally, we have known each other a long time. We're coming up to, 40 years being married soon. Anyways, long story short, Sandra is in Canada right now. She went up to visit family ahead of me. And she's like, are you sure you're going to be okay by yourself? I'm like, yes, I'm an adult. I'll be fine. There's no issue at all. And so, I'm doing my best to do everything I'm supposed to. For example, I have to make sure the house is as clean as it was when she left. So I use one fork, one spoon, one plate, one cup. I rinse it and I reuse. That's nothing else gets touched. And I found that that is the best thing for me. But anyways, so I went home for lunch on Friday to have food on my one plate and to eat. So I managed that successfully. So I grabbed my keys and I run out to the van. And how many of you remember, it was kind of cold on Friday, right? So I run to get in and I go to put the key in the ignition. And I realize, oh, this set of keys doesn't have my truck key on it. And I'm like, oh, this set of keys doesn't have the house keys on it either. So as I'm sitting in my truck contemplating my life decisions, I said one thing. I literally said it out loud. I am not going to tell Sandra about this. And then my phone rang. And do you know who it was? Unbelievable. Literally, I said it, thought it, and the phone rang. And so we have ring doorbells at our house. So if you come, go, it does a little ding on our phone. And also we have Find My Phone. How many people know what that is? And so, in fact, I was teasing Sandra earlier in the week about that. And so she was on her way to Canada, and I could see where she was. And I'm like, hey, Sandra, if you turn to the right, you'll see Lake Ontario. And she's like, how do you know that? Like, she was thinking that I was, like, getting a word of knowledge. And I'm like, no, I'm not that spiritual. I just saw you on the app. And so she saw that I left the house, but I was sitting in the parking lot at my house. And she goes, yeah, is everything okay? And I'm like, no. So unfortunately, now I had to tell her the whole thing. So we hang up, and I'm still sitting in my truck, like, what am I going to do? Do I break into my house? Do I do whatever? And hope sprung up. And I realized that I had given all five of my children a key to our house. And I said, well, which kid can I draw on? And I realized that John is on the payroll here at Reach Out, so he's the one that I will call first. And so he ran over and helped me out, and I got over, you know, come to the church, and life went on. Why am I telling you this story? You know, I think all of us find ourselves in hopeless situations at times. You know, you may not have locked your keys in the house and had nobody to call, but maybe a situation in the area of relationship or finances or a job. You know, there's all kinds of hopelessness that happens in life. I live life, same as you do. And so these things happen, and they kind of ebb and flow. You know, sometimes in our life, everything's going pretty good, and we've got, you know, hope is kind of sitting there, and then all of a sudden something happens, and there's like hopelessness comes, and with that comes all the D words, right? Discouragement and despair and depression, you know, all the D words. You know, you don't want to have any of the D words in your life, but hopelessness is kind of the gateway to all of those things. I'm here to tell you that there is always hope in Jesus. I want you to know that, you know, if that's the only thing you get this morning, is to realize that. So as we begin to look at God's Word, I just want you to realize that. Now, what's our definition of hope? I brought it up a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember what it is? Hope is the assurance of good things to come. You know, that's what it is. The assurance of good things to come. Not of things to come or bad things to come. True hope, the Jesus kind of hope, is that good things are coming. Can you say amen? And I'm here to tell you, and you're going to maybe have a problem with me, I'm here to tell you that even though I don't know about all your circumstances and all the hopelessness situations you might be in right now, I am telling you there's hope ahead for you. Why? Because if you are a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, hope is automatically a part of who you are in Christ. And so there is hope ahead of you. There are good things coming. Can you say amen? In fact, let me do this. Let's make it your confession. Say this: good things are coming my way in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, make it your confession. Amen. So as we begin to look at Scripture, here's the deal. You're going to get a three-part message here today, all right? We're going to talk about hope in the past, hope in the present, and hope in the future. That's what I'm looking at. And this hope is for you today. Amen. So our first Scripture is the hope in Jesus' first coming. And so we begin in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Have a look at this Scripture. The first thing that I have underlined, when the fullness of time had come. This is a stumbling block for me. It might be for you, some of you as well. When the fullness of time, in other words, when God was good and ready. All right? When God was good and ready, not when you're good and ready, when God was good and ready, God had it planned that His Son would come. There are over 700 prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about the Messiah, and many of them talk about literally His time of when He was going to come. In fact, there are some really smart theologians, a lot smarter than me, that look at the book of Daniel, and they look at all the numbers there, and they literally can calculate out and show that this is when Jesus would come, and He came. Now, again, I don't know if they could figure it out before Jesus came, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? They can look back, and they can make all the math work, and that's pretty cool, right? In fact, that's why, again, they think that the wise men, the wise guys from the East came, because they knew the timing of Jesus' birth, because they had the math that Daniel had given them, and that's all very possible. But the point is, the fullness of time had come, and then the miracle happened. Hope sprung. Now, here's the thing. Most of us are pretty impatient. Any impatient people here? I'm one of them. My hand's not up to make you show that I got a hand. I'm agreeing with you. I'm impatient. And so the problem is, I sometimes come to a place of hopelessness because I'm not willing to wait. What's the Scripture say? Hope deferred makes the heart grow what? Weary, you know, or become despairing. And so it's hard sometimes to keep hope. But we need to remember that there's a fullness of time that God knows better. He's got it all figured out. And what we need to do is hitch our wagon up to Him, not thinking He's going to hitch His wagon up with us. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, he's God, we're not. So when the fullness of time, when that thing that God has placed in your heart, that you have a hope for, a God hope, let me tell you something. It will come to pass, but in God's timing. Can you say amen? So what do you need to pray for? Patience. That's what you need to pray for. Not God, hurry up, because you can't rush him and you can't delay him. So you need to pray. You're the wild card in the whole thing. In other words, you're the one that makes the decision. Am I going to line up with him and have hope? Amen. And so fullness of time comes. And then it goes on. It says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. So what's this got to do with it? Well, if you think of the Christmas story, you know, we think of joy, happiness, you know, we're looking back on it. We're like, this is awesome, right? How many people have, you know, kind of a ooey-gooey good feeling when you think about Jesus being born, right? It's good, right? Well, here's the thing. When we go back, if we could go back in time to the narrative when it happened, for example, when the angel showed up and started to talk to Mary, was she all ooey-gooey feelings that this is awesome? It says she was terrified. She was totally freaked out that the angel had shown up. What about Joseph? Same thing. God said, fear not, right? Well, why did God say that? He was full of fear. What about those poor shepherds? Just farmers. You know, people like I once was. You know, just minding their business out in the field, right? Looking after their sheep. And then the whole sky, talk about invading your personal space, right? The sky lights up, right? All these angels, you know, praising God. And they say, what do they say first of all? Don't fear. They were terrified. So why is that? Why were all the people terrified when the Lord shows up or through angelic, you know, form shows up and says, hey, you know, this is what's going to happen. Why were they all so afraid? Let me tell you why. They didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. Now, you begin to read through the Old Testament, and as it concludes the book of Malachi, short little book, just a few chapters. Do you know what God says in those last books? He basically says, look it, you have forsaken me. You haven't given your tithe properly to me. You have forsaken, you know, to the priests, the wives of your youth. You've gone and done things you shouldn't do. You know, basically saying, look, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back to judge. So think about these people now. You got the shepherds. You got Mary. You got Joseph. And God shows up. What are they thinking? The hammer's coming down. We're in serious trouble, right? I'm undone. Now, were they right in thinking that judgment was coming? The answer is yes. But they didn't know the last part. You see, judgment was coming, but the judgment for our sins was going to be put upon Jesus. They didn't get that part. They just knew that judgment was coming, that a Messiah was coming, a deliverer was coming, but they didn't know that through him they would be fully saved. And so we have this amazing narrative where Jesus comes, and we have that scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But we also have a connecting scripture, verse 17, the verse right after it that's less quoted, but it says this, that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world or judge the world, but rather through Jesus, through him, the world might be saved. You see, and that's the part we have in looking back on that first hope of the Messiah coming. Not of judgment, but of redemption and of salvation. Now, here's the problem, and this is what God asked me this question. He, as I'm looking at that and getting that revelation, God said to me, am I still judging others? Or am I helping others to come to know the grace of God? So since God asked me that question, I'm asking you that question. How do you view those people around you when they do something ungodly or unholy or unrighteous? Are you kind of like, oh? Or is it, Lord Jesus, help them to see you in all your glory. Let them have a visitation as I've had a visitation so that they can experience grace and mercy and redemption. Lord, let me not sit on the judge's seat because that's your job. Judge not, lest I be judged. Lord, let me have an attitude of grace and favor and mercy towards those around me. And that is the heart that we can have. Now, that's the hope that we experienced. And listen, that's the hope we now need to give to those around us. Amen. Listen, judgment's coming. But if you're under Christ, if you're in Christ, it passes over you. Can you say amen to that? I don't know about you. I deserve punishment and death. And here's the thing. You might say, well, what did you do? Because you're wondering, right? Jesus said, if you failed at just one part of the law, the smallest part of it, you're guilty of it all and deserve death. So it's not so much what you've done. It's more, have you let him in so that you can be forgiven? That's the hope that you and I have. Now, this hope of not being in fear anymore. How many people know Charles Schulz? You ever heard that name? Remember Peanuts, Charlie Brown, all that? Well, in 1965, before 1965, it was just in the newspapers, you know, his little Peanuts thing that he did. But CBS wanted to hire him to actually make it into a half-hour TV special. And the first one they did was the Charlie Brown Christmas. How many people have seen that somewhere along the way? I'm glad young and old are putting their hands up, all right? I've seen it probably hundreds of times over the years. How many people remember? Well, let me just give you a little background. Charles Schulz agreed to do it under one condition, that there was a scripture reading in it. And CBS said no. And again, this is back in a time where we were still praying in schools, you know, the Bible was still openly read in schools, you know, all of that. And yet even then already they were beginning to turn a corner. And the CBS official said, no way, we're not, you can't do that. Charles Schulz said, then there's no cartoon special. And so he prevailed and they let him do it. And it was an immediate success. Half the televisions in America were tuned to Charlie Brown Christmas that first year in 1965. Pretty amazing. It was like a landslide, amazing victory. And so in it, there's a guy by the name of Linus. How many people remember Linus? I don't know. He was probably like 10, 12 years old, but he was still a thumbsucker and carried around his little blanket, right, his security blanket. Well, I'm going to show you a scene. You guys never thought you'd see cartoons in church. Isn't this awesome? I love this church. We could do some crazy stuff here. So I'm going to show you the clip of just a short part. Now, I want you, because I'm not just here to do cartoons, all right? There is method to my madness, all right? Watch Linus and see what he does, all right? You know, and it's been amazing. It's showing every year, dozens of times. You watch it online now. I think Disney maybe bought it now, so you got to watch it. Or no, Apple now has it, so they've got all the rights. But anyway, I probably took this clip. I got this clip off of YouTube, which we have rights for it. I probably got blacked out online because of this. But you know what? You guys are the important ones here. I hope you got to see it online. Sorry. So anyway, here's the deal, why I bring this up. So you got Linus there. He's got his security blanket. He's got his thumb-sucking thing he does. And then he's reading the scripture, and he gets to the part. And I don't know whether Charles Schulz did this intentionally. I don't know what the deal is. But when he says, fear not, he drops his blanket. I don't know whether you noticed that. He drops his blanket. So here's the thing. When hope begins to rise in you, and fear begins to get dispersed because of that hope, guess what? You then have power to overcome addictive behaviors. You have the power to overcome, you know, things that habits and lifestyles and things in your life that are not healthy for you. That's what hope does. Hope is the assurance of good things to come. And if there's things in your life that you're holding on to, let me tell you something. God has a solution for it. We're going to read a scripture at the very end that says this, that God is the source of all hope. It literally says that in the Bible. The source, not of some hope, the source of all hope, the kind of hope that is life-changing. Amen? So I just encourage you with that. So we needed to look at this, the foundation, in a sense, of Jesus coming into this world, the first missionary, in a sense, right? He came as a missionary to save us. And we are missionaries as well, right? Our job is to share the good news of what Jesus has done. Hope, hope, hope. That's what it's all about. So we need to remember that. All right, so let's move on. So hope in Jesus' first coming. Now let's talk about hope through the active presence of Jesus today. Let me read from the scriptures. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So let's go back just to verse 3 for just a minute. And so here we have it, says, praise be to God, right? He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we look back to the past where Jesus was born. Now we have a new hope of his death, burial, and resurrection. So it's a hope that's alive today. Amen. And so it goes on and says that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. How many people have been watching the news and seeing about, you know, in New Jersey, they got, you know, alien lights, you know, spheres flying around and different things, you know, and everyone's a little bit freaked out. I pray none of you are freaked out by that, all right? You know, there's just lots of talk and, you know, what is this? All kinds of conspiracy stuff. Everybody's talking about it. Let me tell you something. There are aliens. Now you're all like, okay, what's he going to say next? Have a look in the mirror tomorrow morning. And you'll see your first alien of the day. The Bible says that we are aliens and sojourners in this life. That's what the Bible says. So if you want to have a lively conversation with some of your conspiracy friends, you can actually admit to them, yes, there are aliens. And you'll have their attention. They'll be like, what do you know that I don't know? Say, yeah, and I'm one of them. Freak them out a little bit and then lead them to Jesus. Because we are pilgrims, some versions say this, pilgrims and sojourners passing through this life into the next life. And that's something that the death, burial, and resurrection has proven that we have. And that's really, really important for each and every one of us. There is a sure hope because he went through death, came back, that we have that same hope that we will go through death and come back as well. Now, for some of us, our physical bodies will die, and the Apostle Paul says this, to be absent from the body is be what? Present with the Lord, all right? So we're going to go that way. But there's going to come a time where Jesus is going to return, and when he does, there'll be people, if we're still alive, us here, will be transformed in an instant, and then we will be with him. So we die quick and come back. You know, to be honest with you, how many people would like to opt with that? I'm good. You know, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't like the dying part. You know what I mean? Where it just goes on and on and on. I'd rather just a quick twinkle of an eye kind of thing. How many people are in agreement with me? Okay, good. Amen. Well, you know, Jesus comes soon, right? Clock's ticking. Come back soon, all right? Amen. And so hope isn't just a past thing. Hope is a present thing. Let's read on from that scripture a little bit, starting in verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So have a look at this. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. That word salvation is a really interesting word, you know, because it's past, present, and future tense. It can mean a lot of different things. But here's the thing. It says, until the coming of salvation. So some of you might be thinking, well, hold on. I thought I was saved. I thought I have salvation. How many people believe you have salvation? All right, your hands are up. Yeah. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you should put your hand up. Just so you know, that wasn't a trick question, all right? But it says here, until the coming of salvation. That's like future tense, right? Well, here's the thing. Salvation means a lot of different things. It means to be saved, you know, from your sins, but it also means to be rescued from your circumstances. So here's the deal. For some of us, we're in some circumstances now that we still need rescuing from. Anybody here like that? We still got some stuff we need some rescuing from. So we're saved in that we're going to heaven. Our ticket's been punched. We're God knows us and we know him and it's all good. But there's still areas of our life, there's still things going on that we need rescuing from. And that word salvation can mean not just being saved from your sins, but rescued from circumstances as well. And it's still got to happen, right? So if we read on a little bit more, it says to revealed in the last time, in verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. In other words, while you're saved, okay, you're going to go to heaven when this life is over, but guess what? You got some stuff that's happening. How many people got some trials and tribulations and things going on, all right? But here's the thing. What are we to do during that time? What does it say there? Greatly what? Rejoice. Now, are you supposed to rejoice that those bad things are happening? No, God's not like that. That's not what he's talking about. here's what we're to rejoice in, that we have hope that in the future, those trials and tribulations will come to an end. That's what we're rejoicing in. We're rejoicing that Jesus is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that whatever's going on in our lives, it will too come to pass. But I will note this. There are many Christians praying, God, take this away. How many people have prayed that? You got something bad going on. It's like, God, please just take it away. And you're you know, with all the emotion you can gather, and you're, you know, with tears even at times, and it's like, God, please. You know? And it seems that God doesn't answer your prayer. Has that happened to you? Well, guess what? You're not praying the way God wants you to. And you got to pray the word for him to do the word in your life. So if you're praying for God to take something away, you are praying against his word. I have yet to see in Scripture any time Jesus was involved in something that he said, it's okay, just go around that. You know, you don't have to deal with that. You can just go around it. There's not one place in Scripture. You know what Jesus always did? He said, I'll be with you through it. Think of the storm and the sea. Did God take the disciples around it? No, they went through it. And so when you begin to pray that way and say, Lord, I got a trial, I got a situation going on here, and Lord, I know I can't pray for you to take it away, because you won't tempt me beyond what I can bear, but you help me through it. So, Lord, I ask you to show me the shortest way through it to the other side. You start to pray those kind of prayers, you will get God's attention, and things will move much quicker than when you're crying for God to take things away. All right? That's just free. That's a free nugget for this morning. Wasn't planned. It was free, all right? Probably the best part of the whole sermon. I'm just telling you. Changed my life when I began to pray that way. I was the guy whining. I was the whine. Ask Sandra. I still whine sometimes. You know, I whine about this, whine about that. And she's like, just stop. And I'm sure Jesus has said that like a million times to me. And the thing is, if you're praying to go around, you're wasting your time. Amen? Pray to go through it. Amen. Okay. So, hope through the active presence of Jesus today. Here's the cool part. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. There's always hope. Remember, God's the source of hope. Where does Jesus live? Where does he live? In your heart. So that, you know what that means? You've got hope just a few inches away from your brain, and you need to just draw upon that hope, that source that's lying inside of you. All right, so let's finish up with our final scripture. Actually, I won't lie. There's a little scripture and a little scripture, all right? Hope in Jesus' second coming. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. Okay, go back to verse 11 for a minute. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Teaches us to what? Say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. In other words, as we have hope in the future, we can say no to the passions that are negative in this world. Now, here's the thing. Before you knew Jesus, you couldn't say no. But because we know Christ, you and I now have the power of decision in our lives that we can say no to ungodliness. Have you done that recently? Don't show me your hand, all right? Just, you get what I'm saying? Have you done? It's important for you to be able to make those decisions. In going into the new year, we're going to talk about fasting. You know, Jesus actually said in the Bible, when you fast. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but when was the last time you really fasted? A scriptural fast. I don't mean you didn't have cake for a week or something. You know, I mean a fast, where you have water and nothing else. That's a fast, according to the word, right? There are other kinds of fast, but the Jesus fast was just water. That was it. So when? And so the point is we have to act upon his word. But here's the thing. When we do this, and I'll talk about it more in a few weeks, your flesh is going to fight you tooth and nail. And so it's just the same here, that when we have certain habits and lifestyles in our lives that are negative, it's hard to say no if you've been doing that for a long time. How many people know what I'm talking about? It's hard, right? But the thing is, we have the ability because of God that lives in us, amen? So as we go on, we're to live what? Self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. In other words, while we have this hope, we're to be what? An example to the world around us. That's and I know that's hard, but God has called us to be His shop window to the world, so that we can show the world that there is hope in Him. Now you might say, "There's, you know, I am hopeless." I'm not, don't show me your hands, right? You know, there's no way I can be a good example. Listen to me. God's not asking you to be perfect. He's just asking you to be a light for Him. And in fact, your greatest testimony can be this: God has done this in my life, here and here and here, but He's still working on this over here. That gives hope to someone who says, "Well, man, you know, my life's such a mess. I don't know where to start." Well, you start by inviting Him into your heart as Lord and Savior, and then let Him work on the rest. Amen? That gives hope. You don't got to be perfect. In fact, if you become what you think perfect, you become like those holier-than-thou, pious, false, kind of prideful people. And that's not good. That's actually sin, right? And so we need to have joy in our hope as we share our faith. Okay, so what I want you to see here now, you look at the end of verse 14. What are we supposed to do? To be eager to do what is good. Are you eager today? The only way you and I can be eager is to allow hope to spring up. So what's my 3 points? Hope in Jesus' first coming. Hope through the active presence of Jesus today. And hope in Jesus' second coming. You see, there's a day coming where He's going to return. I said earlier, to be absent in the body, be present with the Lord. So either way, He's going to show up. But there is something called the wedding supper of the Lamb. Anybody heard of that? It's a time where you and I will physically eat and drink with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've been to some pretty fancy weddings, you know, where a lot of money has been plunked down, you know, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars plunked down for a one-day event. It's got nothing over what the wedding supper of the Lamb is going to be. It's going to be amazing. Us as believers there, the bride of Christ, the groom Jesus there, the Father, Father God paying the bill. No calories. You can just like eat whatever you want. I am so looking forward to that. Anybody else? Like, yeah, you can just enjoy, all right? And no worries about anything other than just being in His presence. See, that's a hope that you and I have. And that's a hope worth thinking of. Amen? Now, let me close with one verse. Just one verse. It summarizes everything that I've been saying. It's found in Romans 15, verse 13, and it says this: "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Man, it's a scripture that even has hope in it twice even. And so what? God, the source of hope. Jesus is your source today. Can you say that? Jesus is my source of hope today. He's your only hope, all right? There are other things may seem hopeful, but Jesus is a hope that is secure. And then it goes on that because of that hope, you'll be filled with what? Joy and peace. Oh my goodness, right? Why? Because you trust in Him. You have faith in His word. You have faith that He is the hope God, right? Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That presence of Jesus in you, you can draw upon. Let's stand together. And Father, I lift up every single person here. And Lord, that hand of hopelessness represents all kinds of different things. But Lord, I am so glad that You know each and every one of us complete. You know that hopeless situation. You've seen it. And You want to help. So Lord, right now, first of all, those that are hopeless and not knowing You, I pray they make a decision at this very moment to surrender to You, to simply just ask You into their heart as Lord and Savior, that hopelessness would be replaced by hope. And Lord, I pray for others that are dealing with circumstances of life of hopelessness where in the natural there just doesn't seem to be a way. But Lord God, You're the God that makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's who You are. And so, Lord, I pray that faith would rise up, and with that faith, that trust in You, that hope would rise up, that, Lord God, You as that source of hope, the only source of real hope, would show Yourself strong in that circumstance, that situation. So, Father, right now, I thank You for the testimonies that are going to come out of this morning's time together with you. Bless each one as they go as missionaries, Lord, as aliens and sojourners in the land around them. We just thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you.